Hello, welcome to Drive the Bid by Auto Hunter. I am Diego Rosenberg, and this is Derek Shakey over here in front of me. Jeffrey Sutton is no longer with us. It's not necessarily a bad thing because he is gone. He's left the nest and become an influencer online. There were rumors that he spontaneously combusted, but that is not true. I blame the liberal media.
I wish I had a quart of motor oil to pour out for our departed homie.
So anyway, he is still alive, and we wish him the best of luck. So let's start with the news.
Yes. Honda has an exhibit at their American headquarters in Torrance, California. They have over 60 cars, motorcycles, power equipment, pieces, and concepts and race cars that highlight their over 60 years as an American company. They started back in 1959. They have this exhibit. It's going to open Saturday, October 21st, as part of the Cars, Bikes, and Coffee events held every Saturday. And those go from October 21st until August 17th. So you can see some of the highlights here. Among them, is a 1970 N600 coupe. And this one's special because according to Honda America, this is the first Honda vehicle sold in the U.S. It had an air-cooled 600cc two-cylinder engine. There's also an 85 CRX SI. This one's significant because it's the first performance Honda SI model sold in the States. And then, of course, they have Acura models as well, including an 86 Acura Legend. And this one's very important because alongside the Integra, this was the vehicle that started the Acura brand in America.
So is this red one the second one, the coupe? I know it's one of the first ones that they had. I know the picture in my head. There are two different types. For some reason, I think this is the... not the one that they said is the first one sold. I think this is the second model they may have had. Do you know Honda's well enough?
No, not the old ones. shout out to Tyson Hughie. I know he would know this one for sure.
See the red one in the corner now? That's the same car I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the second one that Honda had in the market, if I'm correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. They also have a 91 Acura NSX, and we definitely know the significance of that one. That was a big one because that was their shot against the Italian and European mid-engine supercars, but it had the reliability of a Honda. I'm wondering if they have the Honda that Bruce Willis drove in Pulp Fiction somewhere in there. That'd be pretty neat.
You know what sucks about this museum? I lived half an hour away. Didn't even know it existed.
Oh man, yeah, just hiding in plain sight, I guess.
So I see an early Civic there, the yellow one, and then the silver is an early Accord, and just past it is when the Prelude started to become cool.
Yeah, and then that looks like a 90s Civic Si right there. As far as the Accord, one they have on display is a 79 Accord CVCC hatchback. Now the Accord debuted in 76 as a three-door hatchback. The similarity the one on display has to that is it has the CVCC four-cylinder engine, and that stood for compound vortex-controlled combustion.
Now, if I am correct with that, I think that was a certain kind of clean combustion where they didn't need catalytic converters. Is that correct?
I could believe it if it was true, yeah, because, I mean, given the timeline, late 70s, cleaner emissions would be very much in demand.
So, very good. Too bad I don't live in California anymore to have this convenient, but maybe some other time. So news on my end, maybe you guys know who this guy is. It's Steve Mignante. He's the voice of Bear Jackson in Scottsdale and possibly some of our other auctions. I say "our" because Bear Jackson owns us. He also has some shows on YouTube and I believe on Motor Trend. Great guy, very nice guy, very knowledgeable, and he is sick right now. He has a brain infection. So we just want to make sure that you guys, you enthusiasts, keep him in your thoughts, because we want him to pull out of this, no pun intended with pulling him out of this backlight of this 71 Riviera. But let's hope for the best for this gentleman. He is an asset to the hobby.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Man, crazy times. Yes, crazy times. Yes.
So next, we are going to be talking about our Auto Hunter picks. This one is mine. I'm going to talk about this for two reasons. Number one, this is an interesting car. This is Le Mans GT. So it's a Le Mans of the GT package, which kind of was Pontiac's replacement. Not replacement, but when the GT package came out in 70 on the T37, and it was therefore called a GT37, it was kind of like Pontiac's answer to the Roadrunner. By 72, it became the Le Mans GT. Let's say the muscle car world was a little bit different, so saying it's a Roadrunner fighter is like, eh, it's like, didn't carry much weight, but it's still not a GTO. It's a little bit lesser than a GTO came standard with a 352 barrel, which was different than the GTO's 404 barrel, and it doesn't have the Endura nose. Just has the regular Le Mans nose. So it's kind of interesting. I believe they made about 7,000, if I'm correct. This one was painted in a special order color that is popular with North Carolina Tar Heels fans. I usually see this color in Chevys. I mean, they're always special order cars because this color was not available on those cars. And that's true for this one, too. So this is a special order color. Le Mans GT in Carolina Blue. That's just the generic name for the color. It's been upgraded with a 455 four-speed. It also has the ducktail spoiler. Pontiac only built two cars with the ducktail spoiler, and then something happened. This one's a reproduction. But you can see, at least here, it looks good.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not one for Carolina Blue all that much, especially on cars, but, you know, it works on this for some reason. It just works.
So here is the second reason for me posting this, and it's because the seller, God bless him, he did not do a very good job taking pictures. So you guys, if you want to advertise your car in Auto Hunter, please take some notes. You see all the space here? That's the road. No one's selling a road. They're selling a car. All this space could be taken up by a vehicle. So it's difficult to take pictures. Until you know these things, you really don't know. So we are hoping that by a little bit of an explanation that we can have you guys, when you want to sell your cars on Auto Hunter, that you can do a better job, because pictures help sell your car. Look at this. Look at all the street here. This could be filled in by a car. Why not take a 3/4 rear view and have the whole car? It's just a matter of orientation. It's difficult, but if you're trying to sell something, why not try to do something as well as you can?
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes, I mean, if you're doing like an artistic shot, there's some ways in which you can use, you know, the surroundings to your advantage. But, you know, when it comes to an online car auction, okay, art would be great, but the main thrust of this should be just showing the car. People want to see the car.
Make sure when you take a side view to get the front end and the back end. You don't want to cut them off.
Yeah, you can't even see the spoiler.
So another thing is that when you take pictures, look at the pictures at home. Look at them before you submit them. When you look at them, then you're going to notice what's blurry and what's not, and also whether you got the whole car or not. And if you have trouble taking good pictures, or if you have trouble figuring out whether you're taking good pictures, get someone who knows. There must be someone on Facebook or a friend or something who can help you out.
Yeah, and when people call in or email in to list their car, our reps are very good about talking with them in person and via text and phone calls and whatever means they need to use. And they can send them a photo guide. They can talk them through the process, coach them on how to shoot pictures.
Absolutely.
Our reps are great about that.
And additionally, our reps are good with customer service. I think that's an important thing. And I hear them down the hall. I know they care about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's not our job, customer service. We don't interface, but I notice it because of that.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, on one of our previous episodes, we kind of broke down like how to take photos and which photos to take. So that's in the library of our podcast episode. So if you're curious, you can look it up in our list of videos.
So next is time for Derek's pick from Auto Hunter.
All right. Well, if you've watched the show in the past, you know that I'm a Mustang guy, but that doesn't mean I can't appreciate a cool Camaro when I see it. And what I like about this is a 94 Camaro Z28 convertible, obviously.
Is that the first year for the redesign?
No, I think that was what, 90, was it 93?
Maybe 93.
Yeah,
when was the Mustang?
What do you mean?
Well, they redesigned the Mustang from the Fox.
That was a 94, I think.
Okay, I think 93 was the first year for this then.
Okay, yeah. And this is, you know, so it's a Z28 convertible. And what I like about this is, you know, it's not an SS. It doesn't have leather or anything like that. But that's not to its detriment. I mean, there's a simplicity to this. So it's got, you know, performance engine. And what's particularly interesting about this is not just that it's a red convertible, that's a classic combination for any sort of American performance car, but this has 27,000 miles on it, almost 30 years old, very low mileage. Now, this is the LT1 V8, so this is before the LS1 conversion, 4-speed auto, and it's got some you know, cool stuff that comes with it. The tires are newer. They're Kumos that were installed last year. The audio system's been upgraded, so it's Bluetooth compatible. And they replaced the serpentine belt, drive belts, and the air conditioning coolant last year as well.
To be clear, the SS was not available for a few years.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So this was the top of the line for the convertible back then.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And speaking of that, yeah. So stats on this, 275 horsepower, 325 pound-feet of torque when it was new. And then, yeah, you got the charcoal and gray cloth interior there. Along with the car, it comes with the owner's manual, key fobs, a build sheet, and a three-piece boot for the top.
Have you ever driven one of these?
No. Uh-uh.
They are very difficult to get inside.
Oh, okay. Well, the good news is it's a convertible, so it should be a little easier.
I don't know about that. Haven't sat in a convertible.
Is it, I mean, what is it? Is it the rake of the windshield?
Yeah, it's just, it's like kind of super zoomy looking for its time. And it's just, let's say ingress and egress is just not very easy. I mean, the modern Camaros are similar in a certain way. I don't know how difficult they are to get in, but it's just like, you know, there's kind of like this tunnel vision look with it.
Yeah. I remember driving a 16, and as cool as it looked, being inside of it was odd because all the ergonomics were off.
And then there's also, I think, some like catalytic converter bump from the floor of the passenger. I don't know. There's some odd packaging things in order to get the styling where it was at. It's all right.
I guess it tilted toward form over function, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but, the Camaro was overdue, and this car had loads of horsepower, a lot more than the older one.
Yeah, and then when it went to the LS, got even more.
So, anything else to discuss, or is that it for Auto Hunter this week?
I think that does it.
Okay. Thank you very much for watching this week's edition of Drive the Bid. As we continue doing the podcast, we'll be adding more features as we figure out. Otherwise, thank you very much for your time, Derek, and American public and global world.
See you next time.